Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Toronto, Canada, showing the beauty of meditation at Queen's Park. Pursuing the Best Thing, stories of students at a Falun Dafa workshop. Scotland, author Ethan Gutman exposes China's organ harvesting crimes. Portugal, collecting signatures to support lawsuits against former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin. Carnegie Mellon University, friends of Falun Dafa paint the fence. And posters across China publicize lawsuits against Jiang Zemin. Now for the stories.
Toronto, Canada, showing the beauty of meditation at Queen's Park. 86-year-old Mr. Chen Dali, a Falun Gong practitioner from Toronto, sometimes has to show people his ID card when he tells them his age. I had hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes 20 years ago, and I thought I would die before 70, Mr. Chen Dali said. I started to practice Falun Gong in 1997, which healed all of my diseases. I feel young now. Mr. Chen goes to Queen's Park every day at 5 a.m. and does the Falun Gong exercises with a group of practitioners. After the exercises, he spends his day telling tourists about Falun Gong and exposing the brutal persecution of the meditation practice in China. The Chinese Communist Party launched the suppression of Falun Gong in 1999. Since then, the party has initiated propaganda campaigns attacking Falun Gong not only inside China, but also in the international community. Falun Gong practitioners believe that letting people know the truth is the best way to stop the persecution. Queen's Park, which the locals call the People's Park, is located east of the University of Toronto campus. Groups of tourists from all over the world accept Falun Gong materials and learn the exercises at this park every day. People also sign the petition to condemn the persecution still going on in China. For many of those traveling from China, it is their first time talking to Falun Gong practitioners since the persecution started. After learning about the brutality of the persecution, many of them choose to withdraw their memberships in the Communist Party. Ms. Wang Jinju, a local practitioner, talks to people and teaches the exercises almost every day at Queen's Park. She is glad that many Chinese tourists nowadays know what Falun Gong really is, and some even want to learn the exercises despite the severe persecution in China. A few days ago, a dozen Chinese tourists stopped at our display boards. They took some materials and asked me if I could teach them the exercises. Ms. Wang said, "Of course I did." We went through the five sets of exercises, and they told me that they would continue practicing after they go back to China. Improving health and spirit. Mr. Chen Dali told an interesting story. One morning, an older couple stopped at our site. They read our display boards carefully, so I approached them and handed them a flyer. They politely refused to take it, but were willing to talk to me. The husband pointed to our banner, which read, "Falun Dafa is good," and he asked me how so. He also asked me how Falun Gong is different than Tai Chi. I told him that Falun Gong teaches truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and that we prioritize improving our moral standard, which will improve not only our spirit, but also our physical health. The husband asked me, "Are you about 60? I told him that I am already 86, and that my health shows the power of Falun Gong. They didn't believe me, so I showed them my ID card. They were so surprised and asked me for a flyer that they had refused earlier. They said that they would go find more information about Falun Gong online. Educating Chinese tourists. Practitioner Ms. Zhou Mingzhang often runs into Chinese tourists who ask about the persecution. One day, a lady asked me if the Chinese government really harvests organs from Falun Gong practitioners for profit. I showed her all kinds of investigations and evidence. She shed tears and decided to quit the party, Ms. Zhou said. Her husband, however, told me that he was a party official. He asked me how could he make a living if he quit the party. I told him that many high-ranking party officials nowadays are looking for ways out because they know that the party will soon fall. We talked for a long time, and I told him about the corruption in China, which he actually knew pretty well. He asked me if I had quit. I said that I used to be a party official too, but I realized that I had been deceived by the party for many years, so I left it behind. It seems that my experience encouraged him. He agreed to quit the party. Encouragement from locals. Practitioners are often encouraged by local police officers to keep up their efforts. Ms. Wang Jinju said that they used to do the exercises and talk to tourists in the morning and leave around noon. But one day, a police officer pointed to our banner and said slowly in Chinese, "Falun Dafa is good. You can stay until 5 p.m. We realized what he meant. More people would pass by later in the day, and therefore more people would see the beauty of Falun Gong. Now we stay until after 5 p.m. every day." Mr. Chen Dali recalled, "One day, two police officers stopped at our banner. They gave us a thumbs up and said to me, 'Falun Dafa is good.' How wonderful it would be if policemen in China would treat Falun Gong like that," Mr. Chen said. "I believe that that day will come soon, if more and more people learn what Falun Gong really is." Queen's Park is only one of the places where practitioners introduce Falun Gong to the public. Hundreds of practitioners are doing the same at many tourist spots in Toronto, such as the CN Tower, Pacific Mall, and Center Island.
Pursuing the Best Thing, Stories of Students at Falun Dafa Workshop. Daryl didn't know what she would obtain from the 9-day Falun Dafa workshop held by the Tianti Bookstore in Manhattan, but she did know that the pain in her shoulders was unbearable. To her surprise, the pain was gone after the first day. "I was able to fall asleep that night. This practice helps me a lot," she said on September 17th, the last day of this month's workshop. In the last 2 years, Tianti Bookstore, located on West 30th Street, between 7th and 8th Avenue in New York City, has held a 9-day workshop every month, playing video lectures for and teaching exercises to those interested. Each workshop is open to the public free of charge and accommodates 15 students. Positive energy. 70-year-old Helena learned about the workshop from newspaper ads. "It's the positive energy at the workshop that made me stay here," she said. Master Li Hengzhi, the founder of Falun Dafa, talked about getting rid of attachments to material things. "That would be a perfect state. That is why I came here." The meditation exercise requires sitting with one's legs folded in the double or single lotus position, which is a challenge for beginners. The instructor told students that they can sit in chairs for the first 8 days and sit on the ground on the last day. However, Helena wanted to give it a try. Although she cannot put her legs in the double lotus position, she endured the pain and sat on the ground from the beginning. Her persistence and spirit impressed the instructor and staff members. On the 6th day, Helena came to the workshop an hour early. She told the instructor that one of her son's friends was in big trouble. She told him about the workshop over the phone and asked him to write down the title of the book, Falun Gong, and the bookstore's website. "What I can tell you is, this is the best thing I can give you," she told him. Predestined connection. Ptah is a photographer in Manhattan. This was his second time attending the workshop. He said he has been practicing Falun Dafa on his own for almost 4 years. "You would not believe it if I told you how I started practicing," he said. A few years ago, a European gentleman he met at work gave him a Falun Dafa flyer and wrote down the falundafa.org website for him. He didn't take it seriously, nor did he check out the website. A few days later, he had a dream in which he saw that in an ancient society, Master Li Hengzhi was teaching a group of students in kimonos. Master Li also taught him in the dream. After waking up, he found the flyer and went to the website right away. He later came to the workshop. Persistence pays off. Mari had overcome a series of obstacles that hindered her coming to the workshop. She heard about Falun Dafa on a trip to Europe last year and wanted to practice it, but all kinds of interference made her not able to learn even the first set of exercises. She heard about the workshop at Columbia University and always wanted to attend but never got a chance until this month. After listening to the lectures for 3 days, she had a dream on Saturday morning in which she calmly and openly talked to her boyfriend about one of his problems that bothers her. She was surprised because she was not able to do it so calmly before. In the dream, she even heard the Falun Dafa exercise music playing in the background. When she woke up, she saw that her apartment was flooded due to a broken faucet. The incident made her late to the workshop that day. Making up missed days is difficult, but her boyfriend encouraged her to go to the bookstore and give it a try. She waited outside until the class was over. The manager was touched by her patience and decided to help her. The test of her sincerity was not over, however. The next day, she found that the subway station near her apartment was closed, but because of a street fair, no taxis were available nearby. Mari went a few blocks away to get a cab. When she arrived at the bookstore, it was exactly the time to start. After the class, she told the instructor, "I really want to attend this workshop. I've been waiting for a year."
Scotland. Author Ethan Gutman exposes China organ harvesting crimes. Author and investigative journalist Ethan Gutman traveled to Scotland last month to promote his latest book, The Slaughter, which details the Chinese regime's systematic harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners of conscience. The book explains how much of the free world is complicit with the genocide-like crimes in China through allowing transplant tourism patients to purchase organs sourced from victims. Mr. Gutman spoke at three events in Edinburgh and Glasgow. The popular Edinburgh Art Festival was underway at the same time. Mr. Gutman first spoke at Waterstones Bookshop at Glasgow on August 28, 2015, about his investigation into the organ harvesting in China. He then spoke at the University of Edinburgh on August 29, following the screening of Hard to Believe, a documentary film about organ harvesting in China, directed by Ken Stone. On August 30th, Mr. Gutman spoke at the Just Festival in Edinburgh on the invitation of the organizers. The title of his discussion was Mass Killings, Organ Harvesting, and China's Secret Solution to its Dissident Problem. Mr. Gutman reinforced to his audience at the three events that the Chinese regime continues to kill prisoners of conscience for their organs, despite a number of claims since 2006 that it would take only organs from consenting donors. In fact, Mr. Gutman said that the regime reacted to his book's publishing last year by saying it would only harvest organs from consenting donors starting in January 2015. "There's a fairly simple way to think about this," Mr. Gutman said. "What is the waiting time for a kidney in the United Kingdom? It is 3 years. But in China, it is 3 weeks or less. That means we are looking at an enormous stable supply of donors with matching blood types on demand. This has been one of the tips that something is really going on in China." One other disturbing trajectory is the prices, he said. "If China were cutting off the use of organs from prisoners of conscience, we would expect to see the price of organs going up dramatically. But they are not, nor are we seeing waiting times changing. It appears at least that this business is as usual."
Portugal collecting signatures to support lawsuits against former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin. "The whole world should sign the petition," said a woman with tears in her eyes after seeing posters in a Portuguese city exposing the Chinese Communist Party's organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners. Practitioners in Portugal recently ended a large-scale signature campaign against the persecution in 12 cities from July to the beginning of September 2015. The signature drive also gathered support for the lawsuits against Jiang Zemin, former head of the CCP, who initiated the 16-year persecution. Upon arriving in a new city, the practitioners set up banners and posters and a signature collection table. While some practitioners demonstrated the exercises, others talked to passersby about Falun Gong and the persecution. Many people read the informational posters and took in the exercise demonstrations. Some took the opportunity to learn the exercises. Many passersby signed the petition after reading the posters or listening to practitioners' explanations. Practitioners participated in the annual Health Expo in Lisbon on September 4th through 6th. Although it was very hot during the outdoor expo, many visitors stopped to read the posters and talk to practitioners. The practitioners exposed the CCP's organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners. Many people were shocked by the atrocity and signed the petition opposing the illegal organ harvesting. A number of people had already heard about Falun Gong but did not know why the CCP persecutes this beautiful cultivation practice. The practitioners explained the situation to them in detail to help them to understand. "Can I sign the petition?" asked a young lady breathlessly as she rushed up to a signature collection site. "My husband brought home your flyer. We read it together, and I felt I could not stay at home. I had to come to see if you were still here, so I'd have a chance to sign the petition." After signing, she talked with the practitioners and asked questions. In recent years, Falun Gong practitioners have visited Chinese restaurants and shops in many Portuguese cities and talked to the owners or managers about the persecution of Falun Gong. They have also regularly distributed Falun Gong informational materials at these locations. More than 2,500 Chinese people have renounced their CCP memberships and memberships in its affiliated organizations. During the recent signature collection drive, the practitioners continued to explain the facts of the persecution to Chinese people. Some people, after understanding the situation, said, "Jiang Zemin is so bad, he will meet with karmic retribution."
Carnegie Mellon University. Friends of Falun Dafa paint the fence. Overnight, the words truthfulness, benevolence, forbearance, and the Chinese characters for Falun Dafa and Zhen Shan Ren appeared on the fence in the center of the campus of Carnegie Mellon University. Carnegie Mellon University, an esteemed private school known for computer science and fine arts, is located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One of its best-known and beloved traditions is to paint the fence with witty or special messages. Organizations sometimes have to wait in line to paint the fence. The fence is the place to meet and holds the records for the world's most painted object. The student club Friends of Falun Dafa painted the fence on the night of September 7th and promoted Falun Dafa on campus the following day. Their activities caught the attention of many students who expressed interest in participating in the club's activities. Some Chinese students have misunderstandings about Falun Dafa because of the negative propaganda in China. Many of them asked questions about the practice and took flyers about the persecution in China. Some Chinese students took photos of the fence with words about Falun Dafa painted on it.
Posters across China publicized lawsuits against Jiang Zemin. When Jiang Zemin banned Falun Gong in July 1999, he planned to wipe out Falun Gong in 3 months, leading to mass arrests, severe torture, and long-term imprisonment, in conjunction with forced labor and mental hospital detention. Having experienced physical and spiritual renewal from Falun Gong, practitioners refused to give in to the pressure. The peaceful nature of Falun Gong, as well as its principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, stand in stark contrast to the severe suppression and viciousness of hate propaganda from the Chinese Communist Party. 16 years after the persecution started, more than 200 million have renounced their association with the Chinese Communist organizations. More than 166,000 people have filed criminal complaints since May against Jiang Zemin for persecuting Falun Gong. Inside China, where the suppression continues, many posters were recently seen in numerous provinces that call for an end to the persecution and support the lawsuits against Jiang. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.